RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Dr. Reuben Kirkham is the co-director of the Free Speech Union of Australia. He's been on this show before a couple of times, actually, talking about his battle to depose the eSafety Commissioner and various free speech issues facing the poor old Aussies coming to a country near us soon, I'm sure. Well, that is Australia, isn't it? Anyway, just a quick bit about the FSU Australia. They're a not-for-profit dedicated to the protection of free speech from opposing cultural trends and legal impingements. A strictly non-partisan and non-political organisation. Reuben, it's great to have you back.
Thank you for having me.
What's wrong with Australia
this week? Well, we've got many things going on. We've got a pile of hate speech, misinformation, so-called privacy bill. So the federal Labor government is on steroids. The Victorian government, which you'd expect in and around Melbourne, for those who are not familiar with Victoria, you know, they're busy with their so-called anti-vilification bill. We have that going on. Then we also have visa censorship. So there's been a relatively recent new migration minister who seems to be even more keen on what I'd call visa censorship than the previous one. And he's busy banning at short notice people from coming into the country because they don't share his views, or they might upset people. They might, to use the word he said, sow discord in the community. So in what I hope, given their conduct, is the dying breaths of Australia's Labor government, they have been very busy. They are very keen to ensure that we only hear from people they want us to hear, saying things they want them to say. And whilst in the meantime, if some of their laws pass, you could go to prison, for example, if you pointed out the fact that Roxanne Tickle was a man called Jason.
Yeah.
Or where Dan Andrews, a very unpopular Victorian Premier, probably just as unpopular as Jacinta Ardern, you know, where he's playing golf.
Yeah.
That could get 7 years in prison. And the new laws, supposedly on hate speech, could end up with UK-style punishments for tweeting.
It sounds quite dark. I'm thinking of Candace Owens right now, who I've been aware of and enjoyed watching and listening to for quite some time, and seen kind of her evolution in the space that she's in. What's so dangerous about her, Reuben? What's so dangerous?
Well, I don't know. I mean, she says things that upset people, but most people are not idiots, right? Most people aren't going to be incited or persuaded by her in terms of her excesses. She might upset people. She may sow discord. I mean, well, you know what's sowing more discord? You know what's getting her more attention? Banning her. So whatever the cause is that they think they have, and I do not understand this cause, they are not achieving anything that they say they're achieving. They are costing, you know, Candice won't lose a ton of money, but we'll have a sponsor to come in the country is probably going to lose a ton of money for it being short notice. And it's not just her. We had Jordan Peterson with a delayed visa, Posey Parker with a delayed visa. Normally delay it, they don't always express as blatant about it as they are, seem to be being in this case. It would be interesting to see if it's appealed or challenged. I think there's probably grounds for that.
Yeah.
Depending on what happens. I mean, we haven't seen a visa application. But we've been here before. We had this with Graham Linehan. All he was doing is basically, you know, campaigning against child abuse, in effect. That apparently triggered and upset people. You know, we had to fly him to New Zealand rather than Australia first. Then we gave an interview on Andrew Bolt, and then they finally saw how shameful it was, and they suddenly gave him a visa and let him into the country. It seems now they're taking a harder line. And to be fair, it's not just people on the right that are getting cancelled. We've had, you know, visa applications involving Palestinian activists being blocked, or Masha Gessen because she criticised the Russian government because apparently her paperwork wasn't good. And these are all people allowed in the, you know, US citizens or people with US visas with completely clean records, right? So they're not people that are at risk to Australian people. And all it is patronising us. It's patronising us by basically saying we can't make up our own minds. And if you want to fuel, and unfortunately, this particular one has been driven by, I think, the Executive Council on Australian Jury again. And I have every sympathy for them not wanting, you know, what's happened to them being repeated. and every sympathy for them being afraid of, you know, Nazism, absolutely. But this isn't helping them. This is just, you know, fueling every conspiracy theory. You know, you want to make the conspiracy theories believe, do censorship, right?
Yeah, but they're not sensitive to that, Ruben. And I'm wondering if the immigration minister, Tony Burke, is aware, if he's reading the room at all, or do most Aussies buy the line that they've heard, if they've heard, about Candace Owens?
I doubt it. I mean, look, we put one small tweet up. I think it's reached about 100,000 views and retweets. I'm trying to think of who buys it. I mean, some people who, you know, want to sit with earmuffs all day. So we now have, you know, a black person being banned for being racist, which is a curious thing for the Labour government to be doing. Looks very interesting, but I guess they don't care. I think they know they're losing, so they're just enjoying their little authoritarian power play while it lasts. Hopefully it won't last very long.
Well, couldn't they be accused then of being racist? She's an African-American woman from humble beginnings. She's a very sharp mind. She speaks incredibly. She's had quite a journey. She's now a mother with a family and a very strong faith. It's anti-woman, anti-colour, isn't it?
I mean, I don't necessarily think that's their motive exactly.
Yeah, but using their rhetoric, that's what they're always on about.
I mean, would she be flagged? I mean, there's lots of other people who probably said worse things that have been allowed in the country, right? But you also have, I guess, hypocrisy, right? So, you know, we have, if you complete an Australian visa application, you're required to sign up to equal opportunity, right? You're assigned, you know, fair go. This all seems very inconsistent with that. And then you have people in our universities who are not being kicked out of the country, even though they must have lied on their visa application when they pursue woke ideology, which is the opposite of giving people a fair go, an opposite of equality of opportunity. So it's not being consistently enforced. It's being selectively enforced. And I guess the downstream consequence is not that Candace is obviously a prominent one because it's been publicised, but each person thinking, I'm going to invite someone into the country, I'm going to organise a tour, they now need to price in the risk of cancellation, right? And that's where it comes in. It's the ones we don't know about. It's when they don't get invited, where that risk isn't taken on a speaker. I mean, the cost of the tour company, unless they've got some sort of special arrangement, is going to be enormous. So either they priced it in the ticket, the risk, you know, the downstream pass on to entertainment companies and so on and so forth, who are providing the venues. Or, you know, they're assuming it themselves. But ultimately, people are not, you know, they're taking risks, you know, and the people are going to take less risk. And it's going to not, yeah. This climate doesn't just affect the high-profile ones. It affects, you know, if you want to bring a relative, right? 30% of Australians were not born in Australia. I'm one of them. You know, I'm born in Britain. Britain's the opposite side of the world. And then do we need to think about what our family might say just in case Australian border police get up?
You know, apparently, yes.
About it?
Apparently, yes.
Yeah.
So you better be careful what you say, Ruben. I don't want to cause you a family issue.
Hopefully not for me. Now I've got my citizenship, but still, it is I'm a dual citizen of Australia and the UK.
Yeah,
Britain, really. They say, but it's just, yeah, we need to sort our migration system out. We shouldn't be caring about, you know, unless people have got criminal convictions or they're from a country where there's a high risk, you know, of them basically staying illegally, and you need to do some more checks. Fine. Or they might be a terrorist because, you know, this country's got a high level of terrorism, right? You know, like, say, Syria or something, right? Yeah. Then you might need to do some. But say someone from, I don't know, Ireland, from the USA, from Great Britain, I mean, Canada, I mean, these are the countries that are involved, right? All of the US visas, all cases that I can think of. And it's also political, right? You know, we had Billboard Chris, and because he didn't make a fuss when he came in, just walked straight in, right? And then, if you sell tickets in advance, again, you know, it's another thing you have to think about. Do you sell in advance and risk the refund? So it basically undermines the Australian entertainment industry as well. And the Australian entertainment industry has this really weird rule for certain entertainers. They have to get permission of the trade union to get in the country. If they want to do,
old style, isn't it? Old style.
It's just authoritarian. It's like, you know, I don't see how this is a vote winner, apart from, you know, some woke echo chamber, but there's not that many. They're going to vote whichever way they're going to vote anyway, right? You've got, you know, migrants, you've got, say, Fatima Payman's the party, right? I mean, what does that say to the Muslim community, right? You know, who are worried about, say, for example, bringing their relatives and, you know, this might happen to me too. So I don't see how this could be a vote winner. I think it's just someone with authoritarian instincts. And unfortunately, some small minority of Australians have this really horrible authoritarian instinct and they get off on kicking people out, locking people up. It's not good for Australia. It's not good for business. It's not good for our culture. It's not good for our society. I mean, no, where does this end? Like, where's the benefit? Well, apart from someone thinking he knows better than everyone else as to what we should hear. And I'm sure Ken Day-Sowens is making a ton of money off this. You know, she didn't have to come and do her talks and she's got a free bag of publicity. Like, I don't know what they're trying to achieve other than throwing their weight around and upsetting people.
Has it got anything to do with Tucker Carlson? Because he was, how do I put it, pretty brutal in what he had to say about Australia. And it went far and wide.
Well, exactly. I mean, that doesn't help Australia, does it? It doesn't help the tourist industry that's been smashed by COVID, does it, for this to be going on? I mean, you know, you're an ordinary battler, right? They're being screwed over by this sort of thing. You know, you just damage Australian tourism. Yeah, by a small amount, but it adds up, right? You know, now people are thinking, well, I'd be arbitrarily be blocked at the border when I fly 24 hours from Australia to Europe. You know, it's a terrible reputational thing. I mean, you know, if you're concerned about Candice Owens, you know, you can, there's steps you can take, right? They have power to throw people out of the global line. They can put conditions on the work she does here. They don't have to go all in and block her. You know, they could, if that was really their concern, I don't know the rationale, could just be someone screwed up. But it doesn't seem like it, the ministers now.
Well, did someone screw up? Because I'm looking here, the Anti-Defamation Commission, a pro-Jewish group, they campaigned to have Owens' visa revoked. And the chairman, Davir Abramovich, is quoted as saying, Australia has no place for those who mock the suffering of genocide survivors and insult the memories of the 6 million Jews who perished. Now, I've heard her commentating on that, and she hasn't said any of that, you know.
Well, exactly. I mean, I think this is, I have a greater sympathy with the Jewish community after what's happened to them, after what they've gone through over the last year. But this is not helping them. This really is not going to let them have the peaceful lives they want. It's just going to antagonize people, the people that, you know, they've got their difficulties with. And yeah, sometimes things are upsetting. But you know, the Holocaust Museum, right, is equally upsetting. And I think that's a great thing, you know, because it really brings you into the experience of what happened, right? They could have put a condition on her visa, for example, that she donates to a Holocaust Museum or something, you know, to offset it or something like that. You know, there's lots of ways this could be handled, right, in a fair manner that everyone could be satisfied. But what you can't do is think that this helps anyone. It definitely doesn't help the Jewish community. I really feel sorry for the ordinary Jewish person who's being represented by someone doing that, because they are receiving abuse on the streets. They are receiving, for example, their bakeries being burnt down. I think there was two of them this week, you know, two arsons on Jewish bakeries, right, from memory, or from the last week or so. Yeah, they aren't feeling it, right? I can sort of understand if you're angry.
Oh, yeah, no one's saying they're not, but to have that kind of effect, you know, you campaign on this, because people, you know, query the power of the Jewish lobby, not only in Australia, but in the United States and other places. Exactly. And, you know, we've got to ask, you know, is that appropriate? Is it disproportionate? Why so much power? And I know the argument about the Holocaust and everything.
I don't think the Jewish lobby has particular power. I mean, look, Kelly J. Keane wasn't kicked out by the Jewish lobby. Jordan Peterson wasn't kicked out by the Jewish lobby, right?
Right.
It's a reaction of a small number of people in council protests. But what concerns me is, you know, I'll give you an example, the misinformation bill, right? There was a submission from the Executive Council of Australian Jewry, and they were talking about they were really wanting to stop the protocols of the Elders of Zion being circulated because it was misinformation. It's like, well, I mean, you've just given the neo-Nazis the biggest win ever, haven't you? It's like, if you want to fuel every ridiculous anti-Semitic conspiracy theory, do what that group did. It's like, you know, facepalm, right? It's facepalm territory. And it's a complete proof of the point, you know, that, yeah, more speech, right? This is what you want, more speak, better speak, right? Yeah, the government could equally have given the Jewish community some support in more time and resources in the Holocaust Museum or something, or run some events, or counter speech, right? They could do so much more. And I do feel deeper sympathy to communities been targeted in this way, right? And I do also feel understand the tensions and so on and so forth. But this is not going to take the fuel out of the tensions. This is going to fuel it. Like, it's quite as simple as that.
It's close to Australia not being a free country. And I know it's probably coming here too. And we're waiting to find out what happens with Candace Owens coming to New Zealand, because I believe that is still on. But like I said earlier, it's kind of dark days, Ruben.
It's across the Western world, right? Woke censorship is still progressing. And of course, next week when Donald Trump likely gets elected and the next bunch of people get elected, backlash will hopefully come through. I mean, you have Donald Trump as president. I mean, that's not exactly an ideal outcome, but depending on what your political views are, but it's not exactly, the sort of censorist compromise you like, right? In fact, going back to the good old days where, we tolerated different views and we weren't extreme and, we had discussions about things, right? Even if it really upset people. So there is an affront to freedom, and there's been a sustained affront to freedom, particularly this decade. This decade is the dark ages of freedom, right? We started the pandemic, Dan Andrews locking us up. I was a victim, the rest of the victims of that ridiculous lockdown, and which has been rebutted, another free speech issue where the Parliament tried to stop criticism by an independent panel of Dan Andrews by carefully tailoring the terms. And of course, the commission, to their credit, found a way of doing it. But it's authoritarianism, it's censorship. And, it's important for us all to stand up and fight back.
Yeah, well, there must be some perception of political gain to make a decision like this, which tells you that either they know exactly which way the wind's blowing, or, like I said before, they just are so tone deaf they can't read the room. It's almost a level of incompetence, actually. As well as being patronising, like you said.
It's patronising, it's incompetent, it's an abuse of power, it's inimical to our democracy, and hopefully they get booted out. People who have these ideas should not be in public office. And people executing them, the civil service should just say, no, I'm not putting this file on the minister's desk. No, I'm not going to help the minister come up with reasons for doing it. Civil services in Australia called something slightly different, but you get the point, right? Australian public service, or officials and home affairs. And it's like, we don't need these processes. Look, if someone has been let into the US and they haven't got a criminal record, we can just cut and paste that into Australia, like every other country does. New Zealand hasn't had the same level of problem yet, compared to Australia. They have considered it, but they have, Posey Parker, they actually considered it properly and came to the right conclusion, right? They went for the process of consideration, that's another way of assuaging these concerns. Go for the process of consideration, but also phone at the visa applicant and say, look, this isn't going to be a problem, but we are going to have to go through these motions. That's what you should do in a case like that. And the heat gets taken out of the story and, who's going to talk about Candice Owens when she's here,
How the mainstream media reporting this?
Similar points to what I've said, most of it. Australians, I think it was yesterday, made some comments. The Guardian, I don't think, has commented on it. Unless I've heard something else, but... I read all the newspapers, but the reality is she's not that big a figure. You just made her a cool celebrity. What was the point?
Yeah.
Apart from throwing your weight around and performatively promoting tolerance, you performatively undermine tolerance. You performatively undermine those causes and people you are pretending to help, and you're exploiting people who are angry and upset.
So the only way out is what, to re-elect someone else, another government who might not do this, though?
We've got a federal election next year. We've got a federal election next year, earlier on next year. And it looks like Albanese keeps going in the doldrums. So, the Liberals aren't that great either on censorship, but I don't think they're going to be this bad. And hopefully, there'll be some minor parties who will get in as well. We have a Senate that has, a deadlock in it a bit. So, you've got a crossbench that balances things. But, Labour could go back to the days of, Hawke and Keating actually trying to fix things for people rather than pontificating. And this is something that's just been said by a retiring Labour senator. You know, he's criticised the move to wokeism. So, you know, there's Albanese's hard left faction, right? So, you know, if the hard left faction get, you know, the right wing faction are not as bad. So, you okay. know, on this, they're a bit more sensible. Most of them, apart from a few of them, but yeah, even then, I mean, well, hopefully the Greens will get absolutely smashed as well. They got smashed in Queensland, so hopefully that will happen again. The Greens, they're the most censorious party, unfortunately, at the minute. They're not, you know, we have the nightmare of a Greens Labour government because they like to be more censorship. This is my purely from free speech perspective, right? I mean, I'm not going to say which way I'll vote in the election. But I mean, from a free speech perspective, I mean, we want to maximise it. Less Labour run at the election at time, then, you know, Labour's not good for free speech in Australia.
All right.
And I say learn to become, you know, go back to being proper left wingers, supporting basic Western values like free speech. And it needs to be, yeah, not on our side.
Ruben, thanks for coming back on RCR and telling us about that. And we'll keep an eye. Well, we know what's happened in Australia. Now we have to wonder what will happen here. So let's see.
Thank you so much and best of luck.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.